2 Corinthians chapter 11. There is an important message in this chapter. You're going to see, we're going to go through this, and you're going to see that he deals with some different things, but there is one message that he is saying in all of this, and I hope the Lord will let us enter into it. Let's begin by reading through this and seeing what he has to say. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Don't bear with them. Bear with me. That's what he's saying. He's about to expose false prophets. And what he's saying is, follow me as I follow the Lord. If anybody follows the Lord, that's the mercy of the Lord. That's the grace of the Lord, the calling, the drawing, the leading. But we're going to see in this, he's honest and sincere. He's just saying, I'm just having to tell it like it is. And he's saying, don't bear with them. Bear with me. Follow me as I follow the Lord. Verse 2, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. All I want is for you to be with Christ. Come the end. That's all I want. That's my motivation, my goal, my reward. Greatest reward any believer could have is that the Lord would bring more sheep into the fold. Keep us and keep more. Verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. There is one message. There is one truth. One Savior. One salvation. One way. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, a Jesus who is not God manifest in the flesh, a Jesus who is not all-powerful, almighty, seated on the throne, the high King of heaven and earth. Verse 4, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, a spirit that points you to anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 goes on to say, or another gospel which you have not accepted, a gospel that cries anything other than scriptures alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, the glory of God alone. If he that cometh preaches anything other than that, he said at the end of verse 4, you might well bear with him. Don't put it past us to fall for anything. Don't put it past this flesh to fall for anything. Verse 5, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. I was chosen by God just like the rest of them. And any man who the Lord does call in any capacity says the same thing. If a man is called to preach, he says, God laid hold of me. I didn't do this. If a man is called to believe, he says, God laid hold of me. I didn't do this. It doesn't matter what capacity it is. And Paul is saying, I was taught the gospel, and in his case, directly by the mouth of Jesus Christ, just like the rest of the apostles. Everything that I am by his grace, just like the rest of them. Verse 6, but though I be rude in speech, simple. Just simple. I'm not a good match for the educated of the world and these big minds and these big words. I don't know the big words. He said, I'm not in knowledge. Paul knew the big words. He just wouldn't use them. Just like our Lord wouldn't use them. And he said, we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. All the fullness of the Godhead in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? And the word freely right there literally means without taking any wages, no pay. He said, have I offended you over the fact that I won't take anything from you? Does the fact that I'm not willing to defraud you or insinuate defrauding you, even though Corinth was one of the wealthiest congregations there were. A long time ago, we did a little intro to Corinthians and saw where they were located. Lots of commerce, two seas met, and they were a very wealthy congregation. But he said, I haven't taken anything from you. And he said, does that offend you? Verse 8, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and lacked, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me. The brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, the poorest congregations. Macedonia were very, very poor. We saw that in chapter 8, chapter 9. He was saying out of their great lack, they've just given abundantly. And he said, they supplied what I needed. And then he went on to say in verse 9, and in all things I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself, as the truth of Christ is in me. No man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Corinth and the other churches around Corinth were in the region of Achaia. And they were just bombarded with false prophets. Bombarded with them. Who were all in it for filthy lucre. It always comes back to money. If a man is not called of God and sent of God with the message of God and the glory of God at stake, it always comes back to money. Always. Self in some way, shape, or form. Paul said, I'm going to prove how opposite the truth is from what you're hearing from these men by making myself to be the opposite of what they are. And he's telling them they're trying to bleed you dry. And this is his illustration to them. They're trying to bleed you dry. I'm taking nothing from you. That's the difference in our message. Their message is, what are you going to do? The message of truth is, what has God already done? Their message is, what you must give. The true message is, what God must give. They say, work, your cost is high. God says, rest, your cost is free. Paul said, I'm trying as hard as I can to preach that to you and prove it to you. Verse 11, wherefore? Why am I doing that? Because I love you not? Absolutely not. He said, God knows the truth of the matter. Verse 12, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan's great work is not in the bar. It's not in the drinking establishment. It's not in those places. His great work is in the church. That's where his great work is. And in the name of God's glory and God's honor, in the name of his glory, defending God, he denies God's gospel. Here's how we can see his work. He denies God's gospel. He quenches God's spirit, or that's his aim. That's his desire. And his desire is to divide God's sheep. Deny the gospel, quench the spirit, divide God's sheep. He discredits the pulpit. And he works through the pew, and he's so good at it, if it were possible, God's elect would be deceived. They'd be stolen away. Thank God it cannot be done. That just cannot be done. Now, God's people may be deceived because we're all ignorant sheep. But they cannot be stolen away. They're in the shepherd's fold. And they're in the shepherd's hand. And he's in his Father's hand. It just can't be done. Cannot be done. Verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. What he's saying is, boasting of yourself is foolish. Defending yourself is unwise. I want to try to learn that and remember that. Defending yourself is unwise. Boasting is foolish. But he's about to tell them, I'm not defending myself. I'm defending the gospel I preach. And I'm not doing this for my benefit. I'm doing it for yours. Verse 17, that which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. I'm about to speak as a man. That's what he's saying. I'm going to quote what fleshly men say. I'm going to point out what fleshly men highly esteem. And if all that men and women are going to do, if all they're going to focus on and be impressed with and give credibility to is what they can see on the outside, if they're going to think on these things in a fleshly way and ask questions in a fleshly way, I'm going to answer them in a fleshly way. Verse 18. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. Wise in the ways of the world. Or consider. We consider ourselves to be wise. How foolish the wisdom of man is. Put a selah right there. Dwell on that for a minute. How foolish the wisdom of man is. I really think we ought to do things this way. How foolish the wisdom of man is. Verse 20. For you suffer, you put up with, you gladly receive. If a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Don't you greatly desire, don't you wish that people who are under the bondage of these false prophets, these deceitful workers, don't you wish that they could have their eyes open to what's going on and what they're under? He said in verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever is any bold? He said, man, I'm speaking foolishly. I'm speaking as a man. I don't enjoy this. He said, I'm bold also. Meaning confident. Are they confident? I'm more confident. Are they confident in what they're telling you? I'm more confident. I'm speaking as a fool, but I'm telling you this is the truth and that is a lie. Listen to me. Don't listen to them. I speak as a fool. God knows. Verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. What he's saying is that means nothing. Not only is it irrelevant, not only is holding to stock and tradition and fleshly accomplishments, fleshly names, letters of the law, not only does all of that mean nothing in this, it must be shunned. It must be discredited. It must be gotten rid of. It must be considered a hindrance. It must be considered a hindrance. I've thought before, I'll tell you something I thought in my mind. People ask me, they've asked me many times, where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to seminary? And you know what I've thought many times? It would have been so much easier had I just gone. So I could just give them a name and then they'd be happy and we could be done with that. Because they want that credibility in that letter of the law. That's what they want. That's going to determine whether or not their flesh decides if they're going to listen or not. Thank God he overrules all that. He overrules all that. And what Paul is saying right here is to the true God-called preacher, not only is that stuff irrelevant, we know it's irrelevant, but it must be shunned. It must be discredited. The men that I know who did go to seminary have all denied it. They've all denied it. Gotten rid of it. They consider it a hindrance, a hurt, a loss. And that's what a man must do before God will use him. Any fleshly attainments must be gotten rid of. Paul was the only apostle with a formal religious education. And before God would use him, he had to get rid of it. He had to, with his own lips, confess it is all, and I wrote down a stronger word than this, D-U-N-G, dung. That's just all it is. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? They're calling themselves ministers of Christ. He's about to ask them, where's the suffering for Christ's sake? Our Lord said, the world shall hate you for preaching the truth. He said, if they rejected me, they will reject you. He said, in the world, you shall have tribulation for my name's sake. And he said, these men are living in the lap of luxury. Wealth, fame. Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? Buddy, I'm speaking as a fool. He said, I am more. I am more. In labors, more abundant. He said, nobody has given themselves, and I don't say this, Paul is saying this, nobody has given themselves to the preaching of the gospel like I have, spreading that gospel like I have. In stripes above measure, how many stripes have they received for preaching the blood of Jesus Christ alone? He said, in prisons more frequent. How many nights have they spent in prison for preaching God's election? How many nights? I'm speaking as a fool. In debts, often. I've been so almost dead, I just consider myself died. Verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saved one. They had it figured out that it was highly possible for a man to die from receiving 40 stripes. So they pulled one back just to keep him alive so they could do it to him again. 39 stripes. Verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. Lord willing, we're going to see one of those tonight. Once was I stoned. When a man picks up a stone to stone somebody else, he has one goal in mind. Death. Keep hitting his head until that man is dead. And he said, this was all for preaching Jesus Christ. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Three times ships went down. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings, often, almost every time I journeyed, I was in danger of water, in danger of robbers, in danger of mine own countrymen, in danger by the heathen, in danger in the city, in danger in the wilderness, in danger in the sea, in danger among false brethren, in weariness. You know, sometimes we get tired. And we think we're weary. This man knew weariness and painfulness. This man experienced bodily pain. You know, you go through something and it's painful. And then after that, the pain starts setting in. Those beatings probably dislocated joints, and he had shoulder pains. And I mean, who knows what all? In watchings often. Here, this man of God had to keep watch to see if anybody was about to attack him. In hunger and thirst. I mean, hungry. in fastings often, and that means just complete, utter prayer to God, just pouring his heart out. In cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, here's the greatest one of all, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The burden and the heartache and the worry over souls that comes with this calling. I'm just not even going to expound on it. But I tell you this, if you have any worry over the souls of your children or the souls of your parents or the souls, you can enter in somewhat to what it's like to worry over every soul that the Lord has put under your, whatever he puts us under. You worry about people's financial situation. You worry about people's happiness. You worry about their safety. You worry about all those things. But then ultimately you have a worry over their souls. And Paul didn't have one congregation. Paul traveled to all the churches. Verse 29, he said, I'm just a man like everybody else. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? But here's the point of it all. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. He wanted to cut my head off. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. That was his first trial in Damascus, where the Lord spoke to him. Saul of Tarsus knocked him off his horse. Lord, what would you have me to do? He said, you go into Damascus, it'll be told you what to do. Ananias came to him. Scales fell from his eyes. And immediately, here come the trials. They wanted to cut his head off for denying the law he preached before and turning to the true and living God. Immediately, they want to cut his head off. And he said, I now see that that happened for a purpose, and I see who that purpose is. It's all for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every bit of it. Here is the message in everything he just said. It is all for Christ's sake. All of it. Everything is for the gospel of Christ's sake. Everything I am, everything I have, everything I do, it's all for the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. My life is in him. Therefore, my life is for him. He said, just listen to this. He said in Acts 20 that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city that bonds and afflictions awaited him. But he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He's saying right along with the John the Baptist, I must decrease. It has been testified to me all these heartaches that are going to come and all these trials that are going to come, and you're going to preach this message boldly and be hated for it. He said, that's fine. It doesn't move me. It doesn't. I must decrease. I must. Now, I have wondered why the Lord made it so that it has to be that way. Why did it have to be that way? Why did it have to be that way? God's preachers are not the only ones who suffer for His name's sake. God's people do too. Why has God made it to be this way, that all of these trials do come for His name's sake? I believe in this we can see a little bit of why it is. God, in His kindness and in His mercy, is going to teach His people through whatever means necessary to completely be dependent on Christ. And that's a reality. God is going to teach His people through whatever means necessary to completely be dependent on Christ. If we have any knowledge, I promise we'll be so proud of it. Any worldly wisdom, we'll be so proud of it. And God is able to knock it right out from under us. If we are trusting in horses, God is able to knock them right out from under us. Paul had a horse literally knocked right out from under him on the way to Damascus. Put him down. If we are trusting in ships, you know, get on this big ship, well, this thing will get me across the ocean. God is able to knock them right out from under us. How many ships did Paul have knocked out from under him? Think about this from a literal point of view. By the end of his life, I guarantee you, every time he walked the plank and stepped foot on a ship, he was convinced in his heart, this ship means nothing. If Jesus Christ does not get me across this ocean, I'm not going across this ocean. I'm convinced of it. I mean, I am in the hands of my Lord. Are we trusting in success, in riches? He can knock them right out from under us. He can get us to a place where we honestly say, either God is going to fill my belly or my belly is not going to be filled. In loving kindness, God will knock every crutch out from under us until we have nothing left to lean on but our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing left to lean on. He will, in loving, tender mercy, put every one of His children into a saving position that cries, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus. If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. If any man boast, let him boast in his own infirmities, his own weakness, and the strength of his Lord. My inability, his all ability. My insufficiency, his all sufficiency. We know that if God did not knock these crutches out from under us, we would lean on every single one of them. We know we would. It is great kindness and mercy when he does just that. Painful. Painful, but it's kindness. And it's our great blessing. We'll close with this. Chapter 12, verse 9 says, He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. When He puts us in a place where we're so weak, all we can do is look to Him. That's all we can do. The place where we're so weak, we realize if He does not catch us, I'm about to fall. When He puts us in that place, that is a place that is the strongest position we've ever been in. That is a firm foundation. Cannot be shaken, cannot fall. Paul said, if I must glory, I'm going to glory in my weakness, and I'm going to glory in His strength. And we leave it right there. All right, you're dismissed.